I think I say this in April. I say this in May. I say this sometimes in June. I definitely say it in July, occasionally in August. And you damn well I'm going to say it today. There are certain baseball games in a long-ass season, 162 games, that are just bigger than others for whatever reason. And this afternoon, the New York Mets are playing the rubber game of a three-game series against the Toronto Blue Jays. And it's damn important. It's damn important because they are coming off a rare bad start from David Peterson. He was not good yesterday. They're coming off a rare bad defensive performance. Mark Vientos made a big error that led to an inning that turned into a part of the Met demise. And the Met offense has been flat. The Met offense has done very, very little as this winning streak was bound to end. And even at the tail end of the winning streak in those games against Cincinnati, the Met offense has stopped hitting. They are tied with the Atlanta Braves. They are two games behind Arizona and San Diego in the loss column. So they're right there, but they got a lot of winning they need to do. They have not lost a series since the now infamous Huck 2 game. It's the last time they've lost a series. They've won every series and split one since then. So against a crappy Blue Jay team, the Mets need to find a way to win, and I'm going to tell you exactly how they need to do it. Now, at the end of the day, they win 1-0, they win 13-12, it doesn't matter, win's a win, I get that. But they need to start hitting. And I'll tell you who needs to start hitting. Francisco Lindor has had a great year. I could give a rat's ass about him winning the MVP. That's all fun and games. It's about making the playoffs. But Francisco Lindor has done everything to get the Mets in the position they're in now, and I say thank you. Now, that doesn't mean he can go 0 for the rest of the season, but it means it's time for others like Peter Alonso, like Brandon Nimmo, like J.D. Martinez, like Pete Alonso, like Francisco Alvarez, like Pete Alonso to wake up. Because the identity of this Met team, as well as their starting pitching has been, it's pitched great for the last month plus, as great as their bullpen has been for the most part. I still believe, Teak, deep down, their identity, how they make the postseason, is their offense. And it needs to wake up, and it needs to wake up now.
Well, it does, because this is obviously the urgent time. But, I mean, we went through a stretch where their offense was underperforming, and you felt like, oh, how do you get out of this? And we all remember what happened when Francisco Lindor moves to the number one spot. Vientos eventually becomes the number two slash three hitter. Nimmo was on a streak where he was right. Starling Marte comes back. J.D. Martinez is doing what he's supposed to do. But the challenge has been doing it all at the same time. That's where the issue is with the Mets. It's not that they don't have the horses to get it done. Like, some teams just don't have the horses. At times, it felt like the Yankees don't have the horses. Now it feels like they do. By the way, I met somebody who Sean, you really like. You really like this guy.
Oh, you really like him. I want to hear this.
You really like him. I met him this morning. You'll see. But again, it's the horses for the Yankees. The Mets have the horses. They're just not consistently doing it at the same time. And how do you do that? Like, how do you get them to play well at the same time when it matters most?
Well, you just need...
That's like a clutchiness. That's an it that you can't see from the outside. It's just innate, or it's in somebody. And so the problem with the Met fan and the Mets right now is that you just have to believe that it's there. You don't know if it's there.
Well, I do know it's there, because the guys I mentioned who need to start hitting, and again, that doesn't mean Lindor is free to just take a bunch of offers. He did get on base twice yesterday, but he's been in a funk over the last 5 or 6 days. I know Pete Alonso and what he's capable of doing. Mm-hmm. I know J.D. Martinez and what he's capable of doing. I know Brandon Nimmo, who did have the bloop RBI single that gave them the early lead last night, and I know what he's capable of doing. The problem is, especially Pete right now, and I hate to pick on him, but he's the guy.
Right.
He's the guy because he's at an uninspiring season. And I don't care about his contract.
Right.
His contract is irrelevant right now. That's free agency. That's for the offseason.
Right.
I care about the right now with him. He's done nothing over the last few weeks.
But what makes you think he's going to all of a sudden become Pete Alonso that's 40 home run, 100-plus RBI guy? Of course, but he hasn't done it all year.
He's had a down season.
I know. So what makes you think that that's going to happen now?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. I'm saying it needs to happen.
Right.
I mean, am I confident right now? There's a reason why I haven't been overly confident despite all this winning. And a part of that is They still need to win more despite all the winning, and they need guys to perform better than they have. Their offense has underachieved for a few weeks now, but they've overcome it because their starting pitching has been outstanding. I mean, you look at some of the ways they've won the last couple of days. Look at the first game against Toronto.
Yes.
They were gifted two runs. Now, I'm not complaining about that. Mm-hmm. A win's a win. I'm just saying. So they need guys who have done it, back of the baseball card, to do it now for the next 2.5 weeks. So it's not a huge amount of time, but it can be done. And Pete Alonso is the face of it, and he's dropped to 5 today. Because Carlos Mendoza continues to move that lineup around, trying to find combinations that work. And I appreciate that from Mendy. Yeah. What I don't appreciate from Mendy is starting DJ Stewart last night. That's an embarrassment. And I blame David Stearns. Get his ass off the roster. Let's fix it that way. Fix it that way so that Mendy can't start him.
Make it not an option.
It can't. I can't watch DJ Stewart batting 7th in the middle of a pennant race. Eddie Alvarez, fine. You want to give him a start, the speed skater. Iglesias needs to get off his feet. There's a righty on the mound. Whatever. And it's one day. We have seen DJ Stewart start numerous games. I'm done with it. Now, he's not starting today, thank God. I don't want to see him ever start again. Like, you have enough horses like Starling Marte who should now be playing every day. J.D. Martinez, who needs to play every day. Forget the off days. You have 17 games left in the season. Right. You need to put your best players out there. He's doing that this afternoon against the Blue Jays. He didn't do that last night.
Yeah. No, I feel like the Mets are at a spot where we know that they're entertaining as hell. This is, and we said this many times, right? This is one of the funnest seasons if you're a fan of the Mets to watch. One, because you never know when you're getting those like iconic moments, the just memorable moments, walk-off home runs, whatever it may be, or big hits from these guys, great pitching performances, Edwin Diaz coming in and doing his thing and closing down a game. Like you feel like it could happen every day. So it's must-watch baseball. But the reality is that they're still in this tight-ass race, and it's not guaranteed. So that's what makes it interesting, is that it's not guaranteed. So it's easy to say, look, this team better make the playoffs, and they need to do this and this and that and the other thing. But that's not this team. They're not guaranteed to do anything, except for be entertaining. The thing with the Mets, when I think about them, is I love watching this drama unfold. That's why they're so entertaining for me, because as good as they have been, as good as Francisco Lindor is, as good as any of these guys you want to mention has been, it still doesn't guarantee a thing.
Yeah.
That's what makes them interesting.
And I can't co-sign. I apologize. Actually, I don't apologize. Screw all of you. I can't co-sign this was such a fun season.
It is
if
a
they
fun
don't
season.
Seal the deal and make the postseason.
If they don't make the deal, you're not going to remember it was fun.
Exactly.
You're not going to remember. But you can't tell me it's not engaging and entertaining.
Well, yeah. I mean, look,
and
it's...
God, I got to have... I have to be dialed in right now.
It's the middle of September, and they're in a tooth-and-nail pennant race.
Yes.
And unlike the Yankees, who at the bare minimum, if they don't make the playoffs, are at least in it, the Mets are never guaranteed that. Last year, they were playing meaningless games from August on. But I'm no longer in the world of, well, the games are meaningful in September. Mm-hmm. I'm having a good time.
But they are meaningful in September.
That's great. They got to make the playoffs.
Right?
They got to seal the deal.
I just hope our football teams are meaningful and decent.
Well, that's a different story. Being in it is not enough. They got a lot of work to do, and it's not going to be easy. Now, the Braves continue to get riddled by injuries.
Evan.
They lost another starting pitcher
last
night.
They did, but Evan.
What?
Is this not an improvement on last year?
Is that the bar we have?
It's the first one.
Yes, it's an improvement from next year.
Right?
What's your next
question? You follow track and field. Maybe you don't. Track and field. I follow track and field. When you're high jumping, you know, you go and you set the bar at a level that you can get over. You get over it, it's easy. You're like, yes, now I'm good. Now I'm ready. Now I'm ready to...
What the hell does that mean?
Go try to raise the bar a tad bit higher.
Well, the bar is to make the playoffs. So, I didn't raise the bar to the roof.
No. The first bar is let's be relevant in the last 2 weeks of the season.
No.
They are.
Yeah.
And then the next bar is make the postseason.
Yeah.
And the bar after that is win a postseason game.
Look.
And
the bar
after that is get to the NLCS. And then the bar for that, which is the world record, is get to and win a World Series.
One thing I do find very, very fascinating about the Met fan is that every week for about, I'd say a month now, I would put out a Twitter poll. Now, I understand Twitter polls are very inaccurate, but I put it out anyway. I have fun. And the Twitter poll would simply ask, do you think the Mets are going to make the postseason? Mm-hmm. And I've been doing it for a month. And just about every time, the answer is no. To a different level. Sometimes it's 67% no, sometimes it's 61% no, sometimes it's 75% no. Been doing that for a while. This morning, I did it again. I did it today.
Okay.
Big finale of a three-game series against Toronto. Three big games coming up in Philadelphia over the weekend. A huge homestand against Washington and Philly.
Go ahead.
We all know where they are. They're right there.
Of course.
I think it's
they've been great.
Okay.
They're 8-2 over the last 10.
I understand that. They're 1-2 in their last three. We could play that game all day. Okay. Depends how you want to slice the numbers.
Small sample size.
So I put out that poll again, and it has been no every time I've put it out there. Today was the first time the answer was yes.
Let's go, Mets!
55% of people say yes, the Mets will make the playoffs.
Ooh.
So there is an optimism that, and that makes me even more scared.
Why?
Because the Met fan being optimistic is like, that's scary. That doesn't make me feel good. Plus, how many games are left in the Met season? Do you know?
17.
17?
Yes.
That number haunts me.
Why?
Oh, you know why. Loogie knows why. Sean knows why. 17 games, a very haunting number. Because I think back to 2007.
Wow.
Seven up. 17 to go.
They're not up anything right now.
No. Well, they're tied. Yeah.
Exactly.
They're right there.
So none up, 17 to go. Does this sound familiar?
Good.
Seven up, 17 to go?
Yeah.
None up, 17 to go? Is there like a parallel there that I'm hearing?
No, it's the same. Well, you know what the parallel
is? Nothing. It has nothing to do with nothing.
I'll give you the parallel. They're 8 back with 17 to go with the Phillies. We owe them one. Nah, that's not happening. I think that over the next 17 games, in my estimation.
Who does Atlanta have?
They are playing well, first of all, they got another game with Washington tonight.
Okay, so root for Washington.
And then they play the Dodgers over the weekend.
Do it that way.
What?
Root for Washington. Let's go Dodgers.
Well, I am. I mean, that goes without saying. I was watching them last night until the game became a blowout.
Will that make your mind be less, I don't know, verklempt?
No, my mind is going to be verklempt throughout a pennant race. Pennant races are like life and death. I mean, there's no relaxation to it. I mean, the Yankees have a safety net. Like, they're trying to win the American League East, and while it's very, very important, if they don't win the American League East, they're in the playoffs.
Right.
If the Mets don't make the playoffs, they don't make the playoffs. You know what I mean?
That's four in LA.
But there are 17 games left in this season. I believe they've got to go, in those 17 games, 11-6. That would get them to 90 wins.
How many times has he done this year?
42 times.
In this six-game set, they got to go 4-2.
That's right.
But they went 3-3, so they're okay.
Am I wrong, though? They've got 17 games left. They got to go 11-6 to get to 90 wins. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
So then what are you making fun of me for?
Just because the way you bring it up all the time. And this three-game set, they got to go 2-1.
Yes.
And it's 20-game set, they got to go 18-2.
They got to go 3 out of 4 the next four games. They got to beat the Blue Jays today, and then they got to win 2 out of 3 against Philadelphia. But in my estimation, with 17 games to go, I believe they are going to have to score 5.5 runs a game to be successful.
Atlanta
I do not think they're going to pitch on the level that they've pitched over the last few weeks. Well, I think it's time for the offense to step up.
Atlanta might fall back to earth, like hard, crash into earth, and then you don't have to go that far. What was our preseason prediction? Do you have it?
I had the Mets winning 86 games.
What did I have?
Do you remember? 82, I think.
Yeah, I can't.
I was the most optimistic because I had 86. I don't think these guys gave win predictions, but I had 86 wins, which, by the way,
I think you're
going to surpass.
I think I was right over 500. I know
you were in the low 80s.
Yeah, I think I was right over 500.
Yeah, they've exceeded most of our expectations.
Yeah.
And where I was wrong is I thought 86 was going to be enough to make the playoffs. Mm. So I thought.
Yeah, but you weren't expecting San Diego and Arizona.
No, I was wrong. I didn't think that 90 was going to take it. Like, the Mets have to win 90 games to make the playoffs. And it's not going to make me feel better. Maybe it'll make Loogie feel better if they win 90 games and don't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, well, they won 90 games. What can you do? I don't think I could look at it that way because there's going to be a loss mixed in there that I'll say, well, you should have won that game.
All right, Evan. You like math? You like writing things down?
I love writing things down.
Okay, we know your fandom. Forget making the playoffs or not making the playoffs. More likely September result that we walk out of. The Mets have won 11 or more games, or the Jets have won 3 games?
The Jets have won Jets have won 3 games.
So they're going to win all 3.
You're saying what's more likely
than
Jets?
What's more likely for you? You're a Mets Jet fan.
September record for the Mets and the Jets.
Yeah.
What's more likely?
The Jets.
The Jets being 3-1?
Yes.
Or the Mets being 90 and
so that's 11-6.
860, yeah.
11-6. Yeah,
like
I would probably I'd probably lean towards the Jets. And that's a weird feeling. But I think a lot of that is A lot of that is who they're facing. They're not, the Jets aren't facing the Niners again. Right. They're not facing Buffalo until October. They're facing the Tennessee Titans, the New England Patriots, and the Denver Broncos. The Mets are about to play seven games with the Philadelphia Phillies, and they close the season against the Milwaukee Brewers. Right, so, like, a part of that is who they're facing.
So let's play a math game.
Go ahead.
Mets get in if they win 89 games? Mets get in if they win 88 games?
So the Braves play four against the Dodgers, and then listen to this schedule. Three more with Cincinnati, three more with Miami, the three games against the Mets, and then they close against the Royals. So I think the Royals are going to be fighting. The Marlins are a disgrace to humankind. I know Cincinnati beat them the other day in that one gamer.
Right.
They do have four with L.A., like you mentioned. I think it's going to take 90. I think 89 is going to be a little bit short. And it's also going to depend on what they do against the Braves. Like, that series is going to be monumental. And that's the other thing. They got to exercise the demons of the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, from 2022.
What's your prediction? You think they're making the playoffs?
Yes.
He doesn't even say that confidently.
Of course I don't, because the Braves are tied with
them. Wait, so you said of course
they... the Braves.
Wait, so...
But I do think they... But I don't know if they have to win 90. I'm almost at 88 now.
Mm-hmm. Sit there and do the math on the Atlanta Braves.
I'm trying
and
to.
And I guess San Diego and Arizona, because
I could see them losing three out of four.
Yeah, well,
in L.A.
And also keep this in mind about San Diego, who the Mets are two games behind. The Padres still have three more with the Astros, three more with the Dodgers, and they close the season against Arizona. So the Padres could be the team to come down, and Arizona, San Diego playing each other at the close of the season could turn out to be monumental for the Mets. That's the other benefit. It's not simply Atlanta.
Yeah.
There's different ways to get in. But here's the bottom line. Whether it's Atlanta or it's San Diego or it's Arizona. And this, to me, is not argumentative. I guess you could be if you want. They have to hit. I think it is very unlikely that they are going to continue to win getting the kind of starting pitching they've gotten and the kind of bullpen efforts they've gotten over the last couple of weeks. I think they truly need this offense, which has done nothing for a couple of weeks now, to wake up.
You know what, Evan? I don't get you. I don't know how you think the Mets have a less chance of winning 11 games than the Jets do three in a row. We have a large sample size of this Mets team giving us success, winning games. The Jets have not done that. So I don't understand why you're putting your faith. You sound like what Tiki said yesterday. Are you being lazy? Are you lazily analyzing the Jets?
Do you want me to give more thought to my analyzation on if the Jets will win three games or the Mets will win 11 out of 17?
This Met team has shown us and has proven that they can go 11-6 in this stretch. The Jets have not. And until the Jets prove that, they are not given that right.
You're a little biased in this conversation.
Evan, be real.
Are you not a little biased in this
take some truth serum.
But hold on. Are you not a little biased in this conversation?
How so?
Well, you're not being positive towards the Jets, positive Tommy.
Well, you're positive Tommy with the Mets, which I respect. You've done that all year. No matter what happens, everything will be fine.
Okay.
And you hate the Jets.
Right. No.
I'm at least a Met Jet fan. I'm just being honest.
I just did the math.
Go ahead.
I'm thinking 88 gets in.
Really?
Yeah. I am. And it's not because of Atlanta. I mean, it could be because of Atlanta.
You think San Diego gets tripped up enough?
I do. I honestly do. Because they have Houston for three. Now, Chicago, they're taking two out of three at least from Chicago. So I'll give him two wins. Let's say, I think they win five games, especially because the last six are on the road against teams. LA, who's great, they're going to get, let's say they get swept. In Arizona, maybe they take one or two. I see five wins for the Padres.
If you tell me it's only going to take 9 and 8 the last 17,
and that's what I think.
My confidence goes up a little bit more.
And by the way, that's who they are.
Who?
The Mets.
I don't know what the Mets are, because for a big period of time, the Mets were terrible. They've been a very good team for half the season.
But
so what are they?
They're better than 500. So 9 and 8, 10 and 7. That's what I feel like. So 88, 89 wins is what it's going to take.
I think, and
it's not Atlanta, because I know for the last 2 weeks, all I've been thinking about, or we've been thinking about, or Mets fans have been thinking about, is Atlanta. It's going to come down to that penultimate series, Atlanta. I think it's actually San Diego that might be the vulnerable one, just because you just said it. It made me look at it.
Yeah.
I see five wins for San Diego.
It's so crazy
and
that
then
the
it's
Mets...
88 wins get you in.
The Mets have put themselves in a spot in which they have a realistic shot to be the first wild card team, which means they would host the wild card series.
Which is crazy.
They also have a realistic shot to just miss the playoffs entirely. There's not much margin for error, but it starts with this offense waking up, including this big finale of a three-game series against Toronto. Let's go to Matt in Staten Island. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, Evan? What's going on, Tiki? How are you guys?
Good. What's up?
We're good. What's up, dude?
All right. Listen, real quick, Evan. I know that you're looking at this season for the Mets as being successful, but you're also competing for that last spot with a Braves team that has been decimated by injury.
Agreed.
If you take Acuna, Strider, Riley, and Albies, and you put them back in the lineup, the Braves are probably even with the Phillies, if not ahead, and the Mets are probably an afterthought.
Well, no, they'd be battling with San Diego and Arizona.
They'd be
for
chasing.
A wild card spot.
They'd be chasing the San Diego.
Yeah, they'd
West Coast
be
teams.
They'd be more reliant. But I'm very confused by you, Matt. What do you say? I said to you, they better make the freaking playoffs. So how have I said it's a success? I'm not going to celebrate a success if they miss the playoffs. So I think you're talking to the wrong person, or you heard me incorrectly.
I probably did hear you incorrectly, but listen, either way, even if the Mets get in ahead of the Braves, you really can't be peacocking around too much with your feathers out.
No, you're wrong. That you're wrong about. Here's why I tell you you're wrong. I don't care that the Braves are rattled by injuries. I know they're rattled by injuries. You're right. If Acuna was healthy, if Albies was healthy, yes, they'd be a lot better. Maybe they'd win the division.
If hits and butts were candy and nuts, we'd all be blanks and giggles.
Exactly. What he said. That doesn't matter. Like, it does not matter. When the New York Mets lost to the San Francisco Giants in the National League wildcard game with nobody, right, with no rotation, with TJ Rivera as their everyday second baseman, it didn't make me feel any better. Well, they're rattled by injuries. Like I said about Knicks fans, even though Luke, you won't agree with me, I know how I feel.
Yeah.
I would not have left Game 7 saying, well, gee golly, we were riddled by injuries. Nothing you can do. The Pacer fan can't peacock. The Pacer fan had every right to peacock. They beat you.
Yeah.
And so if the Mets beat the Braves, and I hope they do, you're damn right, Sal, me, and everyone else has every right to peacock all over their carcasses laying in the state of Georgia.
Oh, like
okay? So don't tell me that. Now, the first part, yes. I'm not celebrating a Mets season where they don't make the playoffs. I'm sorry. And if Lukey tries to do it, I heard rumors Hurley may fire him. There will be no celebrating on this radio show about a season that doesn't include the playoffs. If they make the playoffs, you're getting a raise. If they miss the playoffs and you peacock, you're gone.
Although it was very entertaining. By the way, speaking of the Knicks, I met somebody you're going to like.
Ooh.
Lugie, you're going to like it.
I am.
I got some intel, too.
You got intel, too? Oh, intel. I like that.
And intel?
Intel.
All right, coming up at exactly 4 o'clock, Tiki Barber will reveal his intel and who the heck he met that's going to get Lugie all hot and bothered. We'll get back to your calls in a second, 888-808-1019. We'll keep you posted on the Mets. Plus, Aaron Rodgers said something today or yesterday. I think it was yesterday. In which he may have called you people out. And by you people, I mean me too.
What do you Jeff mean, fans. You people?
I want to play this for you because there's a lot here on something Aaron Rodgers said yesterday. Number one, he appealed to me in my sports fandom, which we'll hear in this clip. But he also kind of called out some Jet fans. And it was all related because Michael Cole, who's the voice of the WWE, Michael Cole also happens to be a Jets and Mets fan. He's poor bastard. And so Michael Cole texted Pat McAfee during Monday night's game, quote, we're bleeped. All right? That's how he felt, and I totally respect that.
Why?
Because the Jets got their ass kicked on Monday night by the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, I guess so.
You want to get Michael on the air? Talk some wrestling and some Mets and Jets. He's actually kind of a dream guest now that I think about it. He's like me, except a lot cooler and a lot richer.
I met a Mets and Jet fan today.
What was that?
I met a Met and Jet fan at Cantor Fitzgerald today.
You met a lot of people today, apparently.
A celebrity, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You want to tell me who it is or no?
No, I will.
Okay. We'll save that for 4 o'clock, the big Tiki reveal. So Aaron Rodgers was told about the Michael Cole text, and hey, you know, that was his reaction on Monday night. Care to explain? And here's Aaron Rodgers, and take a listen to everything he said, because there's a lot here.
He didn't play good enough last night. No excuses. Come along for the ride. Don't, you know, if you want to jump off now, jump off, but then don't come back.
No, Michael Cole's never. He's right back in. He's still a Mets fan. Yeah. I mean,
he's back in. Okay.
Yeah, he's always.
Mets have been on a roll lately.
Of course they have.
I know you guys are big baseball fans. They've been on a roll. They're getting in they're tied for a wild card position, I believe, as of yesterday.
Now, think about this for a second. First of all, we'll get to the Aaron Rodgers jump off the bandwagon thing. Pat McAfee and his crew don't know anything about baseball. That's fine. It's football. It's football's king. That's totally great. Aaron Rodgers is keeping up with the Mets wild card race. I mean, how awesome is that?
There you go.
I love that. Like, I know you wish, Sean, that Daniel Jones would say, I know I played like crap, but hey, at least Jason Dominguez is here. That would make you feel so warm and like happy as a Giant fan. I have Aaron Rodgers correctly telling me the standings in the National League playoff race. Meanwhile, he's got a lot of other things on his mind.
Right, but he's a fan. And you know what? He's trying to appease the local Met fan that's also a Jet fan. And by the way, as I just said a segment ago, they're entertaining as hell. So why would you not be paying attention?
Over under 2.5 innings of Mets baseball watched on TV by Aaron Rodgers.
It doesn't matter. He knows where they are in the standings.
2.5, I'm going to say heavily over.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
How do you think he knows where they are in the standings and knows they've been playing well? You think he just reads the newspaper? Right. Maybe that's
by
it?
By the way, we've been doing a radio show, and we're almost at that now.
What?
What do you mean?
Because the Mets game is on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've watched. Right. Well, that's, of course. Well,
I don't think. No, look, who knows? People are in the Jet facility talking about it. He's a sports fan. He has a conversation. I don't think he's sitting home watching games.
Now, the first part of what he said about the bandwagon, let me make something very, very clear to Aaron Rodgers. And Michael Cole, who I do not know personally, is probably very similar to me.
Yeah.
Iron Staten Island, Joe Beningo, and every other Jet fan you can think of. Just because we're critical of the team, just because we're negative with the team, mm-hmm. just because we're pissed off about what happened on Monday.
Yes.
That is not jumping off the bandwagon.
No, not a close.
Being critical of a team you love is not jumping off the bandwagon. And I think sometimes athletes get confused on the difference between the two things. It's like the booing at MetLife Stadium over the weekend. Someone booing you is not saying they quit on you. It's them showing their displeasure for what's happening, but I don't think that's jumping off the bandwagon.
No, I wouldn't either. It's just being, I don't know, real about what you saw and talking about your emotions. So now saying, this team sucks, I quit, I don't want to watch them anymore.
That's different.
That's jumping off the bandwagon.
Who does that,
though? But no Jet fan is doing
Michael
that.
Michael Cole's not doing that.
No,
I'm not doing that.
All.
Nobody's doing that.
No, especially not after 1 week.
Yeah.
Nobody's worried about that
yet. Now, do you want to hear Aaron Rodgers? And thank you. I want to thank Pat McAfee for this, or whoever asked it. He was asked another question about baseball. He was asked, are you a Met fan or a Yankee fan? Now, before we play this clip, do you want to guess what Aaron said?
Aaron's, he's going to say Met fan.
You think he's saying he's a Met fan?
Yeah.
Sean, you want to guess?
No, he's not a Met. Brewers.
I'm going to say he's a Giants fan.
You're saying he's going to say he's a Giants fan?
Yes.
I will tell you before we play the clip that this is the one time I thought I was listening to Craig Carton and not Aaron Rodgers. Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron answering the question, is he a Met fan or a Yankee
fan?
I'm
whoever gives me free merch. You know?
I
went to a Yankee game. I'm friends with Marcus Stroman. So, you know, I'm definitely... enjoyed meeting those guys, but I'd pull for the Mets as well. I don't have loyalty. All the, you know, Kevin Mitchell's not playing anymore for the Giants. Will Clark's not playing. Matt Williams. So I don't have
there
a strong
was. I
allegiance
was right.
To any baseball team.
I was right.
I mean, doesn't he own the Bucks? I think he's going to swerve and give us a Brewers
game. I was right.
You are right.
Just tell him I was right.
You were right, Tiki.
I was right. Thank you.
Well, you were partially right. Like, he was a Giants fan, but he's telling you right now he's a free agent.
Uh-huh.
Give him free stuff, and he'll root for you. I mean, I thought I was listening to Craig for a second.
If it's free, I'll take three.
So if you're Steve Cohen and you have, like, a brain, and I know Steve does.
Send him as much swag as possible.
Yeah, invite him to your suite.
Send him the biggest bag of everything that you possibly can.
Absolutely.
100%.
In fact, I'll tell you exactly when. So the Jets are playing the Patriots next Thursday.
Yes.
That Sunday, where he's free because there's no Jet game, the Mets are playing the Sunday night game against the Philadelphia Phillies on national TV. I expect Aaron Rodgers to be in the building. In fact, if the Mets aren't smart enough to offer him free tickets, I'm offering him my ticket.
Oh.
And me and A-Rodge can sit side-by-side scoring Mets-Phillies on a Sunday night.
I'm a loser.
That would be really interesting for you to teach him how to score a game.
You don't think he knows how to?
No.
Oh, I think he knows.
Why would he know how to score baseball?
Because he's a well-rounded sports fan who probably scored when he was a kid.
I am a well-rounded sports fan, and I have no idea how to score a baseball game.
Really?
No idea.
Disappointed in you, Teague.
I mean, could I figure it out? Sure. Because I'm sure it's not complicated. But I have no idea how to score a baseball game.
Wow. I do respect Aaron Rodgers' honesty when it came to his sports fandom. Like, a lot of athletes don't want to be honest.
Yep.
Some athletes are brutally honest, and Aaron Rodgers was honest, but he's paying attention. And I do appreciate that, and I respect that. Let's get back to your calls. We also have a Lou Gehrig debate series coming up involving Daniel Jones and Tommy DeVito. And Daniel Jones has met the media. What has he said concerning you people booing him? 888-808-1019. Let's go to Mark in Fort Dix, New Jersey. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate it.
What's happening?
Longtime Giant fan, Tiki. Real quick, before I get to my point, I want to tell you the last time I wore your jersey, it was a while back, and things didn't go our way, and I got mad, and I just took it off and threw it in my bin of jerseys, and I was going through my jerseys the other day, and it still has wing sauce on it from that night.
Oh, dude. You haven't washed that thing in, like, years?
I threw it in there. It was the last time I wore it, and that was it.
Well, I mean, wash it and bring it back out. Maybe it'll give us some good
luck.
What
were you mad about? Like, did Tiki do something? Did the Giants do something? What caused the anger that made him go into the bin?
Honestly, I remember it being a night game, and we lost, and it was just, I think it was a close game, and it was just frustrating. But,
Hold on, Mark. This is when I was playing.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
May not have been your fault, Teak, though. He may have just been mad at the Giants.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about this thing has been in his bin, soiled, for 19-plus years.
And I just noticed it because I was looking for my Eli jersey for the weekend, and I'm like, oh, look at this.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
I hope his wasn't bowled up.
So, anyway, listen, I got a couple points, and I wanted to really know what your opinion was on all of them.
Go ahead.
So when everyone gets all crazy about the draft with Saquon and taking him at two and this and that, I had a friend of mine who's a relative worked for the Giants at the time, and from what I understood, they were really high on Baker if for some reason the Browns didn't take him. And it was Baker, and if that was in it, they were going to go with the number two athlete, which was Saquon.
Right.
But isn't the tragedy really not taking Josh Allen at seven? Isn't that like the hugest... Like,
of course.
But no one talks about it. No one.
Yeah.
They're always like, oh, Saquon, running back. No one ever brings up the fact that we could have had Josh Allen.
Right. Well, Mark, I think the issue is that Saquon actually became a star pretty quickly. I mean, he won Rookie of the Year. And so you didn't lament the first-round pick that season. Like, it wasn't immediate that you were saying, oh, this is not a good first-round pick. And at the time, the thought process was, let's salvage what we can from the rest of Eli's career. And so let's go get him a stud running back, and we can get something out of him. And, obviously it didn't work out. It's what's interesting, to your point, he's just mentioning Baker Mayfield. We didn't bring this to air, but Sean and I were talking about, like, what should the Giants have done in free agency the year that they paid Daniel Jones?
Mm-hmm.
And we were looking through all of the free agents, and it was like,
were drafting back first round because they had a playoff season.
Exactly, because they were 20-something or 18 or what? I forget where they were, in the 20s maybe?
They ended up trading up, but I think they were 21.
Yeah, so they weren't getting one of the top quarterbacks in the draft in 2020, a year ago. And so we were looking at the free agents, and there were a bunch of names that just didn't, like, no, this guy's too old. This guy, Baker was available.
Mm.
And now I think Baker might be benefiting from being in the perfect spot in Tampa, with the perfect receiving core for him. But Baker Mayfield's had a pretty good career.
Yeah.
Not great. Not like going to the Hall of Fame, but would you take him as his quarterback? He's spunky.
I think Brown fans would take him as their quarterback.
He's got this like energy about him.
Yeah.
We caught one of his games last year. He trucked the safety and was like, you're not big enough, little man. Right? It was just awesome.
It would have taken a lot of guts to walk away from Daniel Jones after the season he had and replace him with Baker Mayfield.
Who hadn't had a redemption season
yet. Yes.
Because he had those 3 years where he started for three different teams.
Yeah.
Right. The Rams.
Carolina,
the Rams.
Rams, and then...
No, I think it was only those two that year, but it was Cleveland the year before.
No, but I think it happened because I had them in Tampa. So those last 3 years, it was Carolina you started for, the Rams you started for, and then now you're starting for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a three-year span.
That would have been a tough sell.
It would have been almost an impossible sell because it's like his fourth team.
Yeah, I found the game where he put your jersey in the bin.
Yeah, okay.
I'm pretty confident about this. You ready?
Go ahead. What year?
I'm going to assume it's 2006. I'm going to assume it's your final year with the New York Giants. And I'm going to assume, because he said it was a primetime game, that it was a Monday night game.
Against
the Jacksonville Jaguars. You guys got destroyed 26-10.
I don't remember and this
Tiki,
game.
Well, you don't remember it because you didn't have a big impact. Because you guys fell behind. You had 10 carries for 27 yards.
10 carries?
That's right. So I assume, not that he was mad at you necessarily, because Eli threw two interceptions that day. And the defense wasn't great. I mean, they led, you know, Freddie Taylor and MJD.
Oh, that
MJD.
Was Monday night.
That's a Monday night.
Oh.
And so I think he was wearing your jersey.
It's a famous night, by the way.
You had 10 catches for 27 yards, and he said, bin. And he threw you in the bin.
Fantastic. Famous night.
What happened?
Not what happened that night. It's what happened the next day.
What happened the next day?
So, you know, at that time I was working for Fox.
Right.
So we played on Monday night.
Right.
Tuesday morning I was on Fox.
Right.
On air.
Fox and Friends?
Fox and Friends.
Huh?
Tuesdays with Tiki. Fox and Friends.
Look at that.
And so I'm exhausted. The whole day is just kind of like shot. This is my last season, so I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff, media tours for my books, children's books. So the next day we go to practice, Tuesday. I'm telling you I went on Fox because I was exhausted. I didn't sleep. Then I had the whole day of media stuff, go to bed, get up early, go to practice. You go to practice, and this is the day that Tom Coughlin throws all these headlines in my face, basically.
Mm.
Because after that game, one of the things I said, remember we were talking about me speaking after games?
Yeah.
I was like, football's not complicated, right? Why are we putting Eli in positions to make mistakes?
He threw the ball 42 times.
42 times in that game. Yeah. And we were one of the top rushing teams in the league at that point.
Yeah. Think about that. It was 41 attempts for Eli, 10 carries for Tiki that day.
And so I made some of these comments about our offense and like, just do what we do. We're good. Just do what we do. And so he had to reassign our offensive coordinator. This is when Kevin Gilbride became the offensive coordinator, and Jim Huffnagel got reassigned. Ultimately, he left and went to Canada. But Coach Coughlin came in and he threw these papers in my face, like, what do you think you're doing? Blah 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 blah. And it became an FU match.
Oh,
in our running back room. Now, to the right side of us was the defensive lineman. And these were like partitions, like the thin ones, not like a wall. It was a partition. And the offensive linemen were on the left side of us in our meeting rooms. And it got so heated that the guys were coming in and checking on us.
Jeez.
Like, what's going on here?
Wow.
And so I ended up leaving. I left the stadium. I walk up rocking up the old ramp to go into the parking lot. And Coach Coughlin says, Tiki, are we okay? I'm like, as long as you're not trying to make Eli the man prematurely, we're okay. And then coordinator changed. We make the playoffs. Rest is history.
Little did you know that as all of this was going on, our last caller was putting your jersey in a bin.
That's right.
For 16 years.
That he didn't wash.
That he didn't wash.
For, no, 18 years.
18 years, sorry. I don't want to
say 18 years. Wing sauce.
With wing sauce.
And
on
that was before the world where we had 12 different sauces available for wings. That was just hot sauce.
That's right.
That's incredible.
Right. I'll never forget that day. That was that was an interesting day.
I'll tell you,
Giant Stadium.
I'll tell you another day I'll never forget. And we're about to have the rematch America's been waiting for. A couple of weeks ago in the Lugash debate series, that's where Tommy and Sean yell at each other and fight, but it's a debate, kind of like the beautiful debate you saw last night, perfect debate. They fought about who should start. Very entertaining. I agree. Who should start at quarterback, Daniel Jones versus Tommy DeVito? Today, when we come back, the rematch. Should it still be Daniel Jones? Should it be Tommy DeVito? It's the Lugash Debate Series, plus your calls, 888-808-1019, and we will hear from the quarterback of the New York Football Giants, Daniel Jones.